For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Members of the commission that recommended keeping Charlottesville's Confederate statues now say they should be covered up until they're removed. It's been 60 years since the Freedom Rides began, and a special event is happening on the first stop in Virginia. And now that vaccine supply has met demand, how can local health providers overcome other barriers for some people getting vaccinated? This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May the 4th. Be with you. Had to say that. Former members of the Charlottesville Commission tasked with re-envisioning the city's Confederate monuments are asking the City Council to immediately cover the statues until they're removed. The Charlottesville City Council launched the Blue Ribbon Commission in 2016. Most members recommended keeping the statues in place, but adding context to tell a fuller story. The City Council voted in 2017 to relocate the Robert E. Lee statue, and that was followed by the deadly Unite the Right rally in August of that year. Last month, the Supreme Court of Virginia sided with the city, clearing the way for the statue's removal. On this day, 60 years ago, 13 civil rights advocates set out from Washington, D.C. to desegregate interstate bus travel. The Freedom Riders made their first stop in Fredericksburg, where a special event is planned today. The Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
Chris Williams is with the Multicultural Center at the University of Mary Washington. It's named for James Farmer, an organizer of the Freedom Rides and a mentor to Williams, who met him in 1996.
He had lost his eyesight due to diabetes. He was using a wheelchair primarily to get around. But, you know, it was his voice and his spirit that really captured my attention when I first met him. I was really in awe.
The Freedom Riders left Washington, D.C. and stopped first at the Greyhound bus station, which, in defiance of a Supreme Court ruling, was still segregated.
So there were colored restrooms, colored waiting room, lunch counter. Also, Fredericksburg was one of the battles where the Confederacy pretty much destroyed the Union.
There and at stops in Richmond, Lynchburg, Farmville, and Danville, the Freedom Riders were ignored. Not so in the Carolinas.
It wasn't until they got to Charlotte when the first arrest occurred. Rock Hill, South Carolina, was the first time that they were brutalized and attacked. And then it got worse when they got to Alabama.
To commemorate the historic ride, Williams and other community organizers will unveil a temporary marker at the bus station in Fredericksburg today. The finished sign will be installed this fall. I'm Sandy Hausman.
After months of marching on campus, adjunct professors at Virginia Commonwealth University formed a union last week. Now VCU has a new policy for how workers are classified. Alan Rodriguez-Espinoza from VPM in Richmond reports.
VCU President Michael Rao is moving to limit the number of credits an adjunct can teach to 6 per semester, down from 9. Any adjunct who teaches more than 6 will become eligible for full-time benefits. While the new policy won't be fully implemented until next year, Rao is calling on departments to informally begin following it immediately. VCU says this would be a positive change in response to adjuncts' demands, but they say they see it as retaliation for forming a union and want the university to pause immediately. They say VCU is rushing the new policy without seeking adjuncts' input. In an email, VCU reaffirmed its stance that adjunct positions are meant to be part-time and non-tenure track.
Alan Rodriguez-Espinoza reporting. And finally today, now that all Virginians age 16 and up are eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine, local health officials and community leaders are trying to overcome the remaining barriers that may be preventing people from getting vaccinated. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The Central Shenandoah Health District encompasses the counties of Augusta, Bath, Highland, Rockbridge, and Rockingham, and the cities within them. As of the end of April, 49.5% of people 18 and older in this area have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine.
And of course, you know, our target is 75% of the population. So we still have a ways to go. We are making some progress.
Laura Lee White is the district's public information officer and population health community coordinator.
Before, we had a lot of demand demand and not enough supply. Now we have the supply and our demand. We've been able to meet a lot of the demand. Now, you know, we do need to make sure that we are, one, providing information and education to help people feel confident in getting the vaccine who were kind of vaccine hesitant or deliberating on which vaccine they wanted. And two, we need to make sure we're addressing the barriers that individual communities have experienced that might keep them from getting the COVID-19 vaccine.
Those barriers include troubles with transportation, work and childcare schedules, internet access, and computer literacy. One of the ways the health district is trying to break those down is by offering walk-up appointments at their vaccination clinics so that people don't have to pre-register online.
To just provide communities with more flexibility and to make sure that they don't have to depend on like a computer or internet to be able to access an appointment.
Another strategy has been hosting virtual town halls with local leaders from Harrisonburg, Stanton, and Lexington to educate the public about the vaccine. Here's Dr. Laura Cornegay, health director of the district, answering questions in a town hall on April 21st.
We have a history with these kind of viruses, and in fact, vaccine trials had been in effect with these other viruses in the past, so that kind of gave us a legs up for this current vaccine. The other thing that brought them to market so quickly was that the vaccines were being studied and produced at the same time.
The health district has also built partnerships with nonprofits and community leaders to disseminate information and build confidence in the vaccine. One such partner is the Welcoming Harrisonburg Council, which is chaired by Nellie Moreno-Schenk of Skyline Literacy. She said the council includes representatives from the Hispanic, Congolese, Sudanese, Iraqi, and Kurdish communities.
It's a very diverse group, you know, that is helping just to spread the word out.
In addition to transportation and scheduling difficulties, Moreno-Schenk often talks with those in the immigrant community who have cultural or religious reasons for not wanting to be vaccinated.
So they think that this is something from the devil. It is amazing to hear that a few people, you know, think about that in that way. Other things also that the vaccine came out, you know, with the approval of the FDA or other, and that was too quick. However, there has been some efforts to educate the community. Futuro Latino, for example, in partnership with many other organizations, is doing a workshop online on Facebook, bringing professionals that they can demystify that information, wrong information that people may have.
The United Way of Harrisonburg and Rockingham has been another partner in this grassroots education campaign.
There's still people that are hesitant to get the vaccine, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and certainly ones that we respect. We want to make sure that people are making decisions based on good information.
Laura Tony Holsinger is their executive director. Earlier in the vaccine rollout, she and her staff worked to identify individuals whose job put them at higher risk for contracting COVID and pass their names along to the Department of Health.
Childcare staff in particular, they unfortunately were not, as at least in my opinion, as far to the front of the line as they should have been. And many of them have been open since last April or May and been in direct contact with, you know, kids and parents, even if they've had safety measures.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll find a list of upcoming vaccination clinics and more about this story at WMRA.org and on the app. And full disclosure, the Virginia Department of Health sponsors programs on WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Tuesday.